We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
The Sporting News Coach of the Year, Kevin Stefanski. Coach, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
Doing good, gentlemen. How are you guys doing?
Coach, we were just having a very tough conversation about people who leave their shopping carts and don't put them away. They just leave them in parking spaces. Be honest,
lazy
Coach.
Bones.
Have you ever done that in your life? Have you ever left a shopping cart?
Never. I do the thing, you know, the commercial, the Sergio Garcia, where you get it to go in, like you play it like it's on the green. That's my favorite thing to do.
Okay, you're doing the golf move. All right, now. Before we get to football, I got another important question for you. I got a trivia question for you. I got to know how well you know your alma mater. You ready?
Okay, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to give you two clues. Who is the professional athlete, either baseball, football, or basketball, that played the most years in their professional sport that is a Penn alum? And I'll give you two clues. One, he played in the 90s at Penn. And two, he grew up in a state that bordered the state you grew up in and of course, went to college in. Do you know the answer?
Yeah, the first name that comes to mind, and I could be wrong, but is it Doug Glanville?
He's second. You got the right sport. Glanville's second. This guy was, I think, a teammate at one point of Glanville. Mark DeRosa.
Mark DeRosa, who was also the football team's quarterback.
That's right. Was he good? Do you remember?
Before my time, I'm sure he was good. They still talked about him when I got there, but before my time.
Nice.
Let's keep
Kevin,
it going with the Quaker trivia.
You like this, right?
Sure, that's
a lot easier.
These are a little bit easier. Kevin, yeah. Let's go back a year, okay? It's about a year and a couple of weeks. You get this job. You get this opportunity, your first head coaching gig in the NFL. How crazy was it for you? Just that whole time period, and then to be thrown into the pandemic a couple of months later, trying to install all these things and implement your culture and do all these things. Like, just what kind of whirlwind has it been the last 365 days?
Yeah, Dustin, there's been a lot that's going on for all of us. That's definitely true. You know, I think the challenges that COVID presented were totally unique. And God willing, we'll never have challenges like that in a season again. But as you guys know, every season has unforeseen challenges. Every year, something happens where you say to yourself, I did not see that one coming. And how you deal with those things, really, or the teams that deal with those things the best, typically, play some good football. So I hope to God that football looks a little bit differently next year and we're doing it safe and all that. But there's always going to be something going on that you have to overcome.
What was the magic elixir with you and Baker Mayfield this year?
No, I don't. I mean, definitely wasn't an elixir that I know of. I think he understood me, and I understood him, and we worked really hard at that relationship. And it's not one meeting. It's not like I went down to Austin and all right, it's done. It's just a constant getting to know each other. And I hope that's true of all my players, that they understand how I operate, what I'm all about. And at the end of the day, I'm about the team. And I think Baker definitely was about the team. I could not be more impressed by how he works. And I don't know that until I'm around him. Getting this job, people tell me, about him, and it was all very positive. But then to be around him and see how he worked at his craft, see how he spent time in the meeting room, in very early, out very late. I just think he was somebody that I love the guy. I love the gym rats, and that's what I think of when I think of Baker.
We're talking with Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski. Coach, you know, often on the radio and even coaches and media, you know, beat reporters use terms like culture or identity. But sometimes I wonder, are these things that kind of we throw around? What is the real meaning of it? Like, in your mind, you know, we've been talking about the Browns culture has changed. The team hasn't won in forever. And now they seem, you guys seem to have a winning attitude. Is it that, or was it just better coaching, better talent? I don't know. What does culture really mean to you?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think it is a buzzword. Everybody throws it around, and I don't know if any of us know what it means.
Right.
I think when I think of it, I think of a couple things. Number one, I just think of people. You know, the teams that have the best culture seem to have the best people. And that's what I felt so strongly about when I got here. I saw a bunch of really, really good people. And then Andrew Berry and his staff went out and acquired via trade and free agency in the draft a bunch of more good people. I felt strong about the people we put together as a coaching staff. So I think that's part of it. And then I think when you talk culture, I think behavior is probably the closest word that, you know, at least for me to understand. And I think you saw how our team behaved in big moments, how they worked on the practice field. I think you saw those type of behaviors throughout the year that I think contributed to winning some ball games.
I think to that point, when you say how they behaved, you know, we have, you know, you're new, obviously, in the last year, coach, to this team. We've been covering this team for a decade on this show, and we've seen often a lot of excuse making and a lot of blaming referees and things like that. And I know you don't love getting compliments, but I'm going to give you one here because what I think the team reflected your attitude. You seemed, at least publicly, I don't know what you're like behind the scenes, but publicly you never, and even watching you on the sidelines where we're able to see you, you never seemed to lose that even keelness. And I think the team reflected that, and that's been sorely missing from this franchise. How important was that, especially this year, when there was so much upheaval and so much that you weren't used to always remain calm and not, you know, you know, this is a disadvantage for us. Other teams were saying those things. You didn't do it. How important was that to this team this year?
Yeah, I think composure, obviously that mask hides some emotion, which is good. But, yeah, I mean, I do try very hard during the game, definitely during practice. I mean, when I see something I don't like at practice, the players will hear me. But during the game, I just think, especially if you're calling plays and you're making decisions, just think about how many decisions are made on a game day. I always tell the players and the coaches, why would I lose my mind when that's the thing I need the most to make decisions? So I just try to, on game day, to think clearly. And I really demand that of the other coaches. And I think the players certainly understand that there's just there's too much going on, man. The margins are razor thin. And we want to make sure that we're making sound decisions. And I'm not going to stand for people losing their mind when you need that mind to make those decisions.
Kev, the Browns made the playoffs this season for the first time since 2002, and you weren't able to coach in the game. You had to sit in your man cave and watch this on television. There's no way you were able to watch that without having a bourbon or something in front of you.
No, I'll be honest with you. I didn't eat nor drink a thing during that entire game for a couple reasons. One, I was standing there in front of the TV just, you know, pacing back and forth. And then I can't taste anything. So that seems to affect your cravings.
Right. So
I was locked in to what was going on the TV.
Coach, I mentioned before,
you got named today
Coach of the Year by the Sporting News, Pro Football Writers. What do you think about that? About how does it feel now that it's over to win? And I think you'll probably win the AP Coach of the Year as well. We would vote for you, certainly. How does it feel to be named Coach of the Year?
Yeah, I think it's just a reflection on the team. I mean, you have a bunch of good players. I could not be more proud of our coaching staff. I think the men and women we assembled on this staff and the way that they worked together, it was a collaborative effort. So, you know, any type of individual award for me or for any of our players, I think speaks to the team. So, you know, if it sheds light on the great job that our coaching staff did, that our players did, then I'm all for it.
Coach, now that you've faced the Chiefs, you've been to the divisional round, you've seen that team, you've seen Mahomes. Is it something now where, you know, you have to build your team to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. I go back to like when the Cavaliers were in the playoffs every year. It was like you almost had to build a team to beat the Golden State Warriors. Is the Chiefs the team that you got to find a way defensively to stop Mahomes? You got to get the right pieces in place, pieces and parts to beat that squad.
Well, I mean, certainly they sent us home, so I have a ton of respect for that roster, for that coaching staff, for how they do things. I mean, they're the defending champs. They're in the Final Four this year. I said this before. There's no easy outs once you get to the playoffs. So our focus, to your point, Dustin, and it's a good point. You know, that's a great team, and they're going to be there for a long time. But we really have to put the focus on us and what we need to do to get better. And I've told the coaches this already, and we're in the infancy of that process. It's just not a matter of, hey, go bring in player X, Y, and Z. We have to evolve. We got to get better. And that's where this offseason will be huge for us in terms of when we pull this apart and we put it back together. We have so much more information available to us than we did last year as when we're trying just to teach these systems. Really now I feel like we can do a better job of tailoring our systems to our players. So I think the focus goes way more to us, knowing that any team you play, if you're fortunate enough to get in the playoffs, is going to be a tough game.
We're talking with Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski. Coach, tell me where – I want to go back to the fourth quarter in the Chiefs game because, you know, I was saying on the air after the game is over on Monday that I was surprised you didn't go for that fourth down. Now, obviously, it's easy to say when you guys aren't able to stop them and you don't get the ball back. But I guess my logic was if you go for it there – even if you don't make it, if they kick a field goal, you could still get a touchdown, two-point conversion to tie. If they go 30-something yards for a touchdown, well, if you couldn't stop them 30-something yards anyway, the clock was going to run out anyway. Where is my logic wrong on that, do you think?
No, I don't think you're wrong. I think, you know, in all those moments, I'm trying to, you know, make a decision that's best for us. Going back to that game specifically, I just felt that distance, 9 yards, was probably prohibitive. If it was a little bit closer, we were ready to go for it. And then, you know, it's hard because when it doesn't work out, I'm with you. If it doesn't, we don't get the ball back. Now I'm saying to myself, man, I wish I did go for it. I'm going to stick to the process and the thought process in that regard was just the distance wasn't right. You know, will it be that way every game? No. There will be some games where you might have to go for it in that scenario. The fact that we came up short, yeah, I wish I had a time machine. I just wish we went for it. But I think I have those conversations every Monday with the staff. We're talking about it, you know, and you know, that game I've already watched it a bunch of times, as you can imagine, as painful as it is. There's about 50 things I wish we did differently in that game. Uh-huh. But we really got to stick to the process and how we come about those decisions. But specifically to that one, I just feel like the 9 yards was a little bit too long.
How much do you second-guess yourself after
all the time? All the time. And that's, you know, you're making decisions. I mean, how many decisions do you make on a given Sunday? And what I try to do is make this a very simple game. And I try to make the decisions that make sense and give our guys a chance to succeed. But anytime you come up short, like we did on Sunday, man, I'm going to second guess myself for a very, very long time. I mean, you don't get over losses in the playoffs. You don't. They stay with you, and I want it to stay with me because I want it to motivate us moving forward, and I want that to stay with me and knowing that I need to do a better job. I would tell you that I'm fortunate with the staff we have, where we got guys that can. We can question each other, and we can talk about those decisions and say, what could we do better, and be very, very honest with each other.
If you could do it again, would you more than just four on that 3rd and 14?
One more time, Dustin, what'd you say?
If you could do it again, would you bring more than just
four? Yeah. Same conversation. If I had known then what I know now, yeah, I mean, I'd do anything to get a different outcome. But I don't think it's fair. You want to pull these apart.
I just feel like and not to cut you off. If it's Mahomes, I think it's a different story because the guy can throw a Hail Mary. You mm-hmm. know, you never know what could happen. But with Henny never throwing a pass in the playoffs, that was my thing. It's like again, you're the coach. I'm not the coach. I'm the guy sitting on my couch having a Coors Light watching the game. Okay, but like I'm thinking, my God, I played against Chad Henne in college. I'd have brought you know, 6-7 guys and just made him run for his
yeah,
life.
But that's trust me, those are the conversations we have. And to your point, yeah, you could bring pressure there and maybe get the ball out and you tackle them. But we got to trust our guys in those scenarios. We got to get them off the field, and our guys know that. That's you know, if you get them to those distances, we really got to get them off the field, and that's going to be one of the major areas we look at. We got to get off the field in some of those moments, and that's again where I go back to. That's our job this offseason as coaches to pull it apart and really look at this thing and say, are we putting our guys in the best position to make plays?
Coach, I want to talk to you about Nick Chubb. You know, we were having a conversation about Nick because obviously he's got only 1 year left on his contract, and we happen to be huge fans, as I'm sure pretty much every Browns fan is, as I'm sure you are. If you had 53 Nick Chubbs on your roster, would you ever lose a game?
Oh, man, it'd be fun to construct an offense. Right? The pulling guard would look interesting in a 24 jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you guys know what Nick's all about. He's a team guy all the way. You know, I love the way the kid works. You know, if you could see him at practice every day, he's the same guy, takes the ball, goes and scores every play, you know, sprints 50 yards down the field, comes back, does it again. His teammates respect him so much for how he carries himself, how he goes about his business. Count me among his fans as well.
You know, I don't know. Who knows for sure yet? There's so many unknowns, whether fans will be back at training camp this year, even by the summer. We don't know yet. But, I mean, that experience, you know, I mean, and fans, I already have a taste of what this fan base is like. But the fans are always so crazy and into it at training camp and not having the full crowds. I mean, if we can get that this year, we don't know. How big would that be for you guys?
Oh, it'd be awesome. I mean, I want to see it for myself. I've heard so many stories. You know, I'm looking out the window right now of my office out there at the practice fields. I mean, I would love to see this place lined, you know, 10,000 deep or whatever it is. I mean, the guys get a ton of juice from that. And I always think back, and Dustin remembers this, at the Vikings training camp down in Mankato, Minnesota. We'd have a night practice one time a year. Mm-hmm. And the player, even the players, here it is, a random August night. When the lights were on, it took them back to high school ball. And just having those fans around and where they can get close to the players, and you sign a kid's, you know, sign an autograph, and that, you know, that kid's going to hold on to that for his life. So the fans are a huge part of this. It was hard this year for them, I know, and it was hard for the players not to have that interaction with them. That's one thing that I really, really hope that things get better and we can do that in a safe way. Because I need to experience that,
Coach. Just a couple more on the game, and I hate to kind of relive the agony because we've been doing it for three, four days now since the game, and I'm sure it's even worse for you guys in the building, watching the tape back and thinking what could have been and all these things like that. You've been so good this year, and we praised you for your in-game timeouts, your challenges and things like that. You know, the one challenge you had to make it quick in that game. On the Tyree catch, is there anything you can learn from those moments in terms of, hey, maybe you hold on to that timeout could be more valuable or anything like that? Anything you can learn?
Yeah,
from
I mean, without a doubt. Oh my God, that's every game. You look at it and you're like, all right, did we do everything we could? You know, missing that challenge, that's a very valuable timeout. Obviously, in a game where you're trying to get the ball back, we wasted another timeout. What was it with 6 or so minutes left after we'd gotten that first down in the fourth quarter? You can't do that on the road versus the defending champs. I mean, and that's right. That's a complete reflection on me. That's my job, and I have to be better in those moments because, man, not having those timeouts late, it hurts you and it hurt the team. So I 100% have to be better there.
You've been great at it, though. I mean, honestly, we've had so many coaches here, Kev, that have just been awful with challenges. So it's not a knock on you. I just was wondering how much you can learn from it. One more thing about the game, and this has nothing to do with the play that happened, and because we got screwed by it, it doesn't matter. Just in general, do you think the rule when the ball's fumbled through the end zone is a rule that they should look at and take away it hurting us? Because obviously it did, and maybe we're biased in the situation, but there's been a lot of people for years that have hated that rule, the Higgins rule.
You know, Dustin, honestly, I've heard the criticism of the rule over the years, and I've never gone to the place of whether it should be the rule or not. It is the rule. And it's one of those deals where it's so debilitating when you lose the ball there. It's more punishment than fumbling anywhere else on the field. And knowing that, we got to be smart and about how we operate around that pylon. I said it after the game, and I'll say it again. Rashard Higgins is a warrior. I love the kid. He did every single thing we asked of him this year. You know, he was inactive early in the season, never complained. Worked his butt off as a scout team player, worked his butt off as a special teams player, never complained. And then got his opportunity and made plays. So I'm never going to question Rashard's effort, his want to. It was an unfortunate play, but it's not really my job to say whether that should be the rule or shouldn't. It just is, and we have to be better there.
Coach, what are you most looking forward to doing when we can get back to a more normal life besides football?
Yeah, I mean, I think for all of us, going, you know, how about going out to a restaurant for dinner? How about just being around other people? How about, you know, as a coaching staff, part of this deal is hanging out with each other and getting to know each other and going and grabbing a beer with your coaching staff. And you literally couldn't do that this year. It was, you know, against the rules. So I think there's a lot of things that we're going to have to continue to get to know each other as a staff, as crazy as that sounds. I mean, we weren't in each other's offices. We were not in a meeting room. We were on Zoom the whole time. So I do want to reconnect with the staff. Now, we also need to get away from each other and all recharge and that type of thing, and we'll do that. But that is on my mind of making sure that we continue to grow as a coaching staff, because I think that's important. I think the staff morale part is a big deal.
Coach, despite the season ending in disappointment, which it will for 31 of the 32 teams, it was a great year, I thought, for the Cleveland Browns. It may not be everything you wanted, but this was the most fun Browns fans have had in almost two decades. And I know a lot of the fans appreciate it and appreciate the professionalism you showed. And congratulations on your award and congratulations on a great season. And thank you for spending all this time with us today.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Yeah, it's one of those deals. We hate how it ended. That's not going to change. I'm going to watch the tape about 400 more times. And find a way to be better, and that'd be my message to our fans. And I think they understand that it was a season that it was fun. There were some great moments, some unbelievable performances by the guys, and now we got to get better. That's got to be our mindset. And I promise you, when the players eventually do get back here, that will be their mindset of somehow, some way, we have to get better.
All right, Coach, stop wasting time with us. Go get some free agents, will you?
That's
yeah,
AB's
that's right.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks.
All
thanks,
right,
Kev.
Talk
to Kevin.
There you go. Kevin Stefanski, Coach of the Year, did a great job.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.